Good morning, Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. I'm Joe, and we want to welcome you to church this morning. I hope you enjoyed the music. We have a few announcements for you, but first, Daniel's going to tell you how to get connected.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and we wanted to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue. For our kids and our teens, we're wrapping up our summer programming, but our regularly scheduled programming starts back up in September, so you'll want to keep your eye out for that. It's coming up faster than you think. For our adults, we have our monthly fellowship dinners and sporting events, but we also have our life groups, which are the best way to get connected. So if you haven't joined a life group yet, you'll want to talk to Pastor Matt, Jeremy, or Jonathan, and they'll get you plugged in with one that's right for you. We have a bunch of volunteer opportunities available. There's a full list on the website, so you can look through and find out which one works best for you. And if you're not sure, then check out our shape test, where you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. So there you go. No matter where you're at, there's a way for you to get connected here at Evanston.
There's a lot going on at Evanston, and it can be easy to miss an event or activity.
The best way to stay in the loop is with our handy bulletin. It's filled with helpful information about our church.
Not only that, but it has our handy connection card. You can use that card to get in touch with us. Just fill it out and leave it on the pew when you're done, and one of the ushers will pick it up for you.
And for those of you who are more tech-oriented or watching from home, you can find even more information and a connection form on our website.
The website's the perfect place to find out what's going on at the church and to check out some of our really helpful resources.
You will find an archive of our past sermons and Sunday school lessons with the slides and downloads and everything.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's all assigned for Pastor Matt, but we have a few announcements for you. First, don't forget Unity Festival, August 8th through 11th. Look for your family church there and we'll set together. And finally, on September 9th, we're gonna have a community worship service at Muskegon Christian School. We're gonna get together with all our churches in the neighborhood and worship Jesus. And I hear there's gonna be a pig roast. Yum. That's all of the announcements. So if you want to grab a pencil and a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, you can take one from the pew. Now here's Pastor Matt.
Okay, I have been officially out-cuted by quite a bit. Duh. That's kind of stating the obvious. I understand that. That's all good. So, I would say we can make a case that Keith and Tina probably out-cute me as well, and that's okay. Well, hey, the ushers are coming forward. We're going to pray for our offering. We're going to pray for our time in God's Word together, so why don't you join me in a word of prayer. Father, you have blessed us in so many awesome and amazing ways. We thank you for all of the countless ways that you lavish your love upon us. And Lord, as we return a small portion of those blessings to you, we ask that you receive them in the spirit which with they were given. Father, we ask that you take these offerings and use them to advance your kingdom, both here in Muskegon and also around the world. Father, as we turn our attention for a little while into your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit will illuminate our hearts. Father, may we become more like you today. May we reflect your love and your glory to the world around us. As the pastor, I simply ask that any word that is from me would fall to the ground. I ask that every word that comes from you would endure forever and change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, my friends. So, hey, I know for our young ones who are dutifully coloring and getting into the sermon in their own way, they know this already. But we've been spending some time this week in the book of Daniel. Now, how many of you have heard or read the book of Daniel? We have things like the fiery furnace. We have, like, the lion's den. A lot of familiar stories. And I want to actually start out by giving you a question that can explain the whole book. There's one question that explains the whole book of Daniel, and you can tuck it away in your brain, and you can remember it. That's for us big people, it's for little people. But I got to do something just for us who are somewhat north of the child mark. How many, and this is the question, okay? So, but how many of you know what this is? Yeah, how many of you know the show? Back from the 80s. Okay. And not to make myself seem any older, I'm the same age as the little kid. So this is like 5 years old. And yes, in case you're wondering, people really did make their hair that big. Now help us out. What is the name of this show? Who's the Boss? Indeed. And of course, part of the fun of this show is who was the boss. We have this wonderful picture too. I'm the boss, I'm the boss, I'm the boss. Now this show was kind of crazy because for the first time we had an unmarried couple, and not that they were living together, but she was the career-driven executive and always put together and very task-oriented. And Tony Danza, he was the housekeeper, and he was sensitive, and it was just kind of turned a few things around. But I want you to kind of tuck this question away in the back of your mind, because the question that can tie the whole book of Daniel together is, who's the boss? Who's in charge? Who's running the show? And so I want to highlight for you guys just a couple of stories from Daniel very briefly this morning as we try to unpack who's the boss, and more importantly, how do we live for the boss in the world around us? Does that sound good? Okay, so if you want to grab your Bible, we're going to start out in the book of Daniel. If you're unfamiliar with God's Word, there's two parts to God's Word. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is older, the New Testament is newer. That's how they got the name, just so you know. And the book of Daniel is about this far in through the book, and Daniel is considered a prophet. And part of what prophets would do is they would kind of speak God's Word into the world around them, to the leaders and to the rulers around them, and try to tell people who God is and what they needed to do. And so we're going to dive into the book of Daniel for just a little bit. I'm only going to pull a couple verses out, but I'm going to share some of the stories with you. And some of our kids, you guys already know these stories. So the book of Daniel actually starts out with a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, and he attacks a city, Jerusalem. And when they attack this city, he literally kidnaps all of the young people, all the teenagers. Parents, would any of you like, don't put your hand up. But so King Nebuchadnezzar comes along and he kidnaps all of the young people, and he takes them from their home to this new place called Babylon. And in Babylon, they're faced with some choices. And in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and three of his buddies called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they show up. Now, I want you to check this out. There's no parents around. Their parents were back in Jerusalem. There's a whole bunch of people around them that were saying, it's okay to do whatever you want. And when they got to Babylon, they heard this message that said, you know what? King Nebuchadnezzar, he's the boss. And we're going to do whatever he said. We're going to worship the same gods that Nebuchadnezzar said. That was the message, was King Nebuchadnezzar is the boss. And I want you to jump in with me. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 1. And I want you to zoom in with me just for a minute on verse 8 of chapter 1. And there's some key words here. It says that Daniel, oh, this is probably what it looked like. Well, cartoon version, but go ahead, Jackson. So these people, these young boys, these young people were taken from their home, and they were taken away as slaves. But we read these words. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. I just want us to zoom in on that passage here for just a minute. Because, and not that there was a problem with eating the royal food because it was food. The problem was, if you were eating that food had been offered to another god. So that'd be kind of like going to a totally different church and saying, instead of Jesus being God, somebody else is God. That's what it would mean if Daniel and his friends would have eaten this food. And a whole bunch of the people from Daniel's neighborhood came in, and they said, okay. And they started eating this food. They started worshiping this other god. They started doing what the king wants. But I want you to check this out, my friends. Check this out. In verse 8, it says, but Daniel resolved. Now, that's a crazy word, but it means this. Daniel made a decision. Daniel made a choice. And Daniel said, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to worship these other gods. I'm not going to worship anything else. And so another way of putting it is Daniel made a decision that he had his own faith. Daniel had his own faith. Because check it out, his parents weren't there telling him, you got to go to church. His parents weren't there saying, this is what you're supposed to do. Daniel was all on his own. And he made the decision to say, I'm going to have my own faith. I'm going to believe in God because I made the choice to believe in God. Now, for all of us, big people and little people, that's important. Because we each have to make our own decision. Am I going to live for Jesus? Am I going to live for God or not? And ultimately, that's the question. Who's the boss? If God's the boss, if God is real, we're supposed to live for him, right? So I want you guys to say this with me, big people and little people. Check this out. I want you to say this with me. God is real, and he's the boss. And he's the boss. You got it. So that's the whole message of Daniel in a nutshell, is Daniel saying, you know what? God is real, and he's the boss, and I'm going to choose to follow God. And so for us, as big people and little people, we don't get to go to heaven because we went to church or because our parents believe in God or anything else. We have to make our own choice that says, God is real, and he's the boss. There you go. And if we are 80 years old or 8 years old or anywhere in between or even a little older or a little younger, we have to make our own decision, just like Daniel, where Daniel resolved, he chose to have his own faith. Now, I don't know about you guys, little people, that's kind of hard, isn't it? Amen? That's kind of hard because you go to school, not everyone believes what you believe, not everyone goes to church, not everyone lives for God. Big people, amen, it doesn't get any easier, right? And so it's important for all of us that we make the decision to have our own faith. But Daniel had something else happen in his life that was pretty cool. Why don't you guys flip over to Daniel chapter 3? Because remember, first thing first is Daniel decided to have his own faith because he figured out God is real. Oh, okay, whoa. Okay, I realize that we're doing two things. We're turning pages and all, and we're Baptists. We can do this. God is real, and he's the boss. Okay, Daniel made that decision for himself. But here's the cool part. He wasn't alone, right? He had three friends. Little people, my young friends. What were Daniel's friends' name again? Does anybody remember? Meshach? Oh, and the other guy. We have Meshach, Abednego. Who's the other one? Shadrach. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his three buddies. And what's really cool about Daniel is that we see that Daniel's friends had made the same decision. Daniel's friend says that they are going to believe in God because they figured out that God is the boss and he's in charge. You got it. And so even when Daniel was saying, I'm not going to worship this other God, his buddies were saying, we're there with you. And what I love about Daniel chapter 3 is that in Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar does this crazy thing. He builds this huge statue. I don't know if it looked quite like that or not. But he made this huge statue and he said, here's the deal, here's the rule. When we start playing music, we're going to gather all these young people together. And when we start playing music, kind of like we did here today, what King Nebuchadnezzar said is that y'all have to bow down and worship the big gold statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, young people, I don't know how you would do this, but if I'm really honest, when I was a kid, I probably would have done it just because I'd be afraid of getting in trouble. And I'd probably be sitting there going, okay, God, you know my heart. I'm just pretending, right? I'm just pretending. If I'm being real honest, it'd be very easy for me. If everyone else was bowing down and pretending to worship, it'd be real easy for me to do the same thing. But what I love about Daniel's friends, and Daniel wasn't even there. Big people, if you check it out, go to Daniel chapter 3, you realize Daniel is nowhere in this story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were totally on their own. And this is what I love, is that when the music played, everybody bows down except the three buddies. The three of them were like, nope, we're not going to do it. We're not even going to pretend to worship anyone else other than God, because they had decided God is real. And he's the boss. And so we can't worship anybody else, right? So even if everybody else is pretending or doing it for real, we're going to stand firm. Now here's the reason that was a tough thing. Because the king had said, if anyone doesn't bow down, they're going to be put to death. They're going to be thrown into a huge fiery furnace. And that happened. That's scary stuff. And so in Daniel chapter 3, they get thrown into the furnace. But check this out. This is chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Furious with rage, because they didn't bow down, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn and flute and zither,'" and that's a whole bunch of instruments, basically. They had a band going there, too. Okay, it says, "If you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" So basically, Nebuchadnezzar is saying, "I'm going to give you a second chance. You know, parents, we do this. I told you once, you didn't do it. Here's number two." Nebuchadnezzar did the same thing. "We're going to play the music. The band is going to play. If you don't worship, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and who can save you there?" That is an awesome answer. Yes! He knows the rest of the story. God can do it, because check this out. Here's what Daniel's friends said. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, then the God we serve is able to save.'" That is absolutely the right answer. They knew it. They said, "My God is able to save." But listen to this. Check out the rest of it. "But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you had set up." So Daniel's friend said, "It's more important for us to know that God is real and he's the boss and we're not going to worship anybody else." And they said, "Even if it kills us." And we know the rest of the story. The king throws him into the fire, and then a little bit later, he's kind of looking in there, and he goes, "Hey, how many people we put in here?" And the guards are like, "3. And he's like, "We got 4 people in there." That ain't right. And a lot of the scholars, for the big people, a lot of the scholars would call that, they call it a Christophany. They believe that Jesus actually appeared in the furnace and kept them safe, because when they take Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego out of the fire, they didn't even smell like smoke. Try that sometime. Go to a campfire and don't come back smelling like campfire. You can't do it. And if anything, if you're in Michigan, you want the smoke to come towards you. It's like, if I'm getting smoked out, there's no mosquitoes. So bring it on. But they didn't even smell like smoke. And so, my friends, young people, it's so important for you to decide to have your own faith. And then you also need this. You need to decide to have friends that share your faith. We need to have friends that say, "God is real." Thank you. "And he's the boss." "Oh, we got this." Yes. And when we have those friends around us that can encourage us in our faith, that makes it so much easier for us to stay strong in our faith. So here at Evanston Avenue Baptist, here's the invitation. Little people, we have Bible Times Club coming up. It's kind of like VBS. It's every Sunday night. It starts in September. That's a way for you to gather around some friends. We have Sunday school for the same thing, to have some friends that share your faith. For the slightly bigger kids, we have Hype. For the youth group kids from 6th through 12th grade. And for big people, we have life groups that meet Wednesdays and Fridays in different homes throughout the neighborhoods. And basically, that's just a chance for us to get together and be around people who are kind of like us and kind of different. But the one thing we have in common is we love Jesus. We know that God is real. And he's the boss. Yeah. And we're figuring out how to do life together. That's what life groups are for. So again, just the invitation, wherever you're at, Bible Times Club, Hype, life groups, if you want to get plugged in somewhere, I would encourage you to do that, because it makes such a difference to have friends that share our faith. Amen? We need lots of friends that don't share our faith. I know that. But we also need the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's around us that can say, "Hey, you know what? I have struggles too." Amen? "I've been there. I'm going through it. I've been through it before. I haven't been through it, but you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I got your back." That matters. Now, I have one more story that we need to tell you, because you know, we're talking about who's the boss. We know that God is real. He's the boss. Now, it feels like I'm saying that a lot. I am. And if you don't normally go to Evanston, I don't normally preach this way, but I'm doing that for two reasons. One, young people. Hey, young people. Kids over there, Keep it down. Thank you. They're having fun. We love that. But part of the reason I'm doing this is so that young people, you can get this in your head when you think about Daniel. You know, it's a story about God is real and he's the boss. And for the rest of us, next time you open Daniel, I want you to have that same thought. You're going to look at Daniel and go, ah, I got that thing in my head. God is real and he's the boss. Yes! That's the whole message of this particular book. But I got to tell you something. We have one more story that I want to cover, and it's a familiar one. It's in Daniel chapter 6, actually. We're going to skip chapter 5 for right now. We're going to go straight to chapter 6. And I'll put up a picture already just so you know what the story is. We've heard it before, but this is the story that everybody knows about Daniel, right? Daniel in the lion's den. Now, a lot of times, even in this picture, as funny as it is, we get it wrong. A lot of times when we make a picture out of this, we tend to keep Daniel as a young boy or a young man. Check this out. When Daniel was taken to Babylon from Jerusalem, he was most likely in his teen years. He would have been somewhere between 13 to 19, depending. He was in Babylon for the rest of his life. And when chapter 6 came around, check this out. It had been 70 years. When Daniel went into the lion's den, he was not some kid going, behold, I'm going to the lion's den, let's go. You know, it wasn't this at all. Well, maybe he was, but he would have been very spry because Daniel would have looked a little bit more like this. Again, not the best picture in the world, but check it out. There we go. Sorry, computer's running a little slow. But he would have been an old man. He would have been in his mid-80s at a minimum with white hair. And then all of a sudden this thing happens where there's a new king, King Darius, and King Darius makes this decree that says that he is the only one who could be prayed to for a period of time. Now, Daniel had some enemies, and they knew Daniel's habits. They knew Daniel's habits. And they knew that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Now, when you see pictures of this, I don't have a good picture of it, but when you see pictures of Daniel praying, it's usually like in front of his front room window, like, behold, I'm praying. And there's a big window there. That's not the way it would have been. They didn't have big windows back then. A window would have been about the size of my piece of paper right here. And it would have been up all the way at the top of the house. And so the only way someone could look through the window and see Daniel is if they were like hanging off his roof like a ninja. Okay, put it another way, they were trying to catch him. And they set this whole thing up basically to catch Daniel and get him taken out. So check it out. Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den, and this miracle happens where he's not eaten. Yay! And the king comes the next day, and he starts talking to Daniel a little bit. Oh, I got to find it here. All right, so we're in Daniel chapter 6. Okay, verse 19. So this is Daniel just spent the night in the lion's den. And verse 19, it says, "As at the first light of dawn, the king got up, and he hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice," because he liked Daniel, and he kind of got roped into this. "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Now, we know the story. We know that Daniel made it. But if it was you, what would you say? The king's at the door saying, "Daniel, did you survive?" I'd be like, "Yeah! No thanks to you! You threw me to get eaten in here!" I would be a little bit upset, just saying, you know? Or I might be a little sarcastic. "Yeah, we had pizza. It was great. You missed out." But either way, I would be upset because I got thrown into this lion's den. But I want you to check out with me how Daniel answers in verse 21. Okay, check this out. "Daniel answered, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, O king.'" Daniel just laid it out. He said, "You know what? God is real. Oh, you thought I forgot. Try again. God is real, and he's the boss. There you go. And as a result, Daniel was spared from all this. And Darius, he pulls Daniel out. He throws the bad guys in the pit. They get eaten. But then check this out. Verse 25, "King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations and men in every language throughout the land. He wrote this. This is the king. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of the kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed, and his dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So this non-believing king sent a message through the whole land and said, God is real, and he's the boss. He figured it out. And look at Daniel's story. Daniel's story goes like this, the next verse. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So all told, Daniel influenced at least four kings throughout his life. So I want you guys to check this with me. Daniel made a decision to live his faith, made his own choice for that. Daniel had godly friends, and he did both of those things at a very young age. But for those of us that are a little bit older, we need to take note of what Daniel was doing with the rest of his life, because here's the other decision that he made. Daniel made a decision to influence several generations. Daniel passed on his wisdom to four different kings. And the world around him changed because Daniel made a difference. He influenced multiple generations of people. And so if we're sitting here saying, you know what, hey, I'm in my 40s, or hey, I'm in my 80s, or hey, I'm whatever age I am, the question, the decision for us is, have you made the decision to influence other generations behind you? You guys have probably heard me tell this story, and it still remains very true. When I was a youth pastor, my most awesome volunteer that was just cool, and the kids loved him, and he made such a powerful difference in their lives, started volunteering with the youth at 86 years old. Isn't that awesome? And he had this amazing thing called wisdom. The rest of us were still looking for it at the time. And he could just grab these kids and go, come here, kiddo. And he would just speak God's truth to them. And it was blunt and it was loving. And these kids would be like, thank you, Grandpa Nick. I appreciate it. And he made such an awesome influence on generations of young people. One of the elders in my church said they remember Nick as a Sunday school teacher when he was a kid. That elder had children my age. Grandpa Nick made an influence on generations of believers. And guys, I got to tell you this. As we're wrapping up VBS, one of the coolest and most awesome things that I can tell you is that this church is doing that. When I watched the volunteers, I saw every generation helping. I'm actually going to ask Joy to come up because this is so cool to me how much of a broad swath of people have made this Vacation Bible School happened, and so many of you have made this decision. Miss Joy, there's a microphone right behind the fake palm tree. I hope I'm not giving anything away. These are fake. Yep.
Are we in Babylon? Isn't that where we are?
Yep, I don't think you're on yet, my dear. Hang on a second. There you go.
You mean we really aren't in Babylon? No one told me that.
I'm sorry. I hate to burst the bubble.
Hey, can I have all of my adult helpers from Vacation Bible School please stand for a minute? All of my adult helpers stand.
And we know who you are, so no faking.
I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart and from this church's heart for making a difference this week. Thank you for influencing and investing in our kids. You guys have made a world of a difference, and we're so thankful. So can we have a round of applause for my adult helpers? Can I have my teen helpers stay standing for a minute? Can I have my teen helpers? Now, I want you guys to look, and I want you guys to see, because this is the future of our church.
I love that George and Rosemary and Ray Dean are still standing.
They're the
we know you
of
guys
our
are teenagers.
Too.
We love you guys. Thank you. So, yep.
I want you guys to see, this is the future of our church right here. These teens standing before you taught the children this week. Yep. They had a lesson that they taught. They took influence. They took power, and they did a really good job. They are the future of your church. They are the ones who are going to be doing the leading in the future, and they did an awesome job. Can I have some applause for them, too?
Thank you, guys.
And finally, can I have the kids who attended Vacation Bible School stand? The kids who attended Vacation Bible School, because not only were they being served this week, they served. If you can see over here, we have our awesome collection of cans that are going to our food pantry. The kids collected 138 cans for the food pantry this week, and they were able to do that as well. Mm-hmm. Church, this is your future. These are the ones who are going to lead you in the future, and from what I've seen, they're going to do a great job. But they need you. They need the adults. They need you to teach them the way. I can't do it by myself. Their parents can't do it by themselves. We need you, every single one of you. Thank you for investing. We appreciate it. You guys can have a seat.
Thank you, guys. Yep. And I don't know if it hits you the same way it hits me, that when I see young high school students and grandparents all standing up saying, hey, we were the body of Christ. We served the next generation of young people. And that to me is so exciting and so encouraging to see when we do that. So we were able, just in this week, to influence multiple generations of young people and old people. Can all of us who aren't quite teenagers anymore, you were blessed by this, weren't you? Amen? Amen. And that's the cool part, is that when we do this, when we make the intentional decision to influence the other generations, we wind up ultimately getting, not that it's the reason we do it, but we get blessed back, where all of a sudden we find this new life and vitality of helping out with our kids, which to me is just so very cool. So our takeaway from this is as follows. Are you guys ready? God is real. He's the boss. And we follow him. There it is. So I'm going to put up one last slide just to, you know, God is my boss. And so I just want to invite you, if you're here, if you haven't made that decision to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to follow God, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, I'm just going to make you a very general invitation. If you want to ask questions about that, if you want to talk about it, I'll be around afterwards. I'll be up here for a little bit. I'll be downstairs. You're welcome to ask some questions. I would love to tell you more about who this God is that I say is my boss. So I'd love to give you that opportunity. Now, a couple things. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing a couple more songs, and then you guys are all invited to head downstairs. Two of the young people who were not able to be in here and stand would be my son, John, and Trevon, were them as well. And they were outside. You probably saw them on the way in. They were manning the grill. Hot dogs, because that's how we love people, with hot dogs. But you guys are welcome to join us just for a time of fellowship. Please hang out. It'll just be a great time together. So let me pray. I'll invite the worship team up while I'm praying, and then we're going to sing a couple more songs just to worship Jesus together, and then we're going to head downstairs. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We just acknowledge that you are God. You are the boss. You are real, and we follow you. So, Father, I just pray for everyone in the sound of my voice. Lord, would you just send your Holy Spirit ever so gently just to pull on our hearts and just to remind us of who you are, how much love you have for us, and the authority that you have in our lives. So, Father, we love you and praise you. I pray for our young ones as well. Continue to keep them strong in their faith. Continue to keep us as parents strong around them. And, Lord, we just thank you for this body of Christ and its willingness to invest in the young people of our church. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, I just invite you, would you please stand so we can sing and worship Jesus together as we close?
We are going to sing Amazing Grace. We got to sing that during VBS, so if anybody wants to help me, you are welcome to come back up and help me out. As we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved even someone like me. Come on up. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. But now I see.
Vacation Bible School, but you guys all know this song, so you're gonna stay up here and help me? We're gonna build God's kingdom. And where are we gonna do it? We're gonna start here and here, right? So you gonna help me? Here we go. Come set your rule and reign, Lord. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray, until while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come and save us now.
As I said, you're welcome to join us downstairs. I would ask this, if you can go down and grab a seat, we'll do some prayer. We'll let some of our senior saints and those with mobility challenges go first. But head downstairs, grab a seat. I'm going to send you out with this blessing. Again, afterwards, if there's any questions or if you'd like to talk to me about anything or pray about anything, I'll be up here for just a few minutes. One last time, just to make sure, God is real. He's the boss. All right, there we go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful unto you. And in all things, may he give you peace. Amen and amen. We'll see you guys downstairs.